You are listening to the Vernon Verona Sherrill Central School District Techie Teacher Tribe podcast. This is an EdTech-focused podcast spotlighting the daily awesomeness of VVS school teachers. The mission of this podcast is to spread awareness across the district and community of the exemplary 21st century instruction happening here at VVS. Thank you for listening. Welcome to episode 7 of the VVS Techie Teacher Tribe podcast. I am here with Mrs. Amy Austin and Mrs. Sandra Whalen for our co-teaching with Google Classroom episode. So first, I wanted to just have you introduce yourselves. What do you teach?
Amy Austin, and I'm the middle school librarian, so I co-teach with the teachers in my building grades 7 and 8.
And I'm Sandra Whalen. I am the English teacher on the 7-8 Red middle school team.
Awesome. And so I reached out to Amy and said, okay, who's doing awesome things in the middle school? And she said, well, we're doing awesome things with our co-teaching at Google Classroom. So you do a collaborative research project or two together now using Google Classroom. So could you talk a little bit about your project and how it started and what you ended up doing with your Google Classroom?
There's two different projects. One of them is called the Vocal Viewpoint, which is an alternative type of book review. Takes the spot of a book report and something more exciting for the kids to do. So they end up recording their voice in Audacity, and then we use one of the databases from School Library Systems, the Sounds Abound database, and we put music behind their voice. They have to choose a piece of music that matches the mood of the book. So they're also going through literary elements with this particular project.
Yes. Cool. We started this in response to the oral effective communicator push, where instead of just having students express themselves in writing, we wanted to have them start learning how to use presentation skills to make their, we'll call them podcasts or vocal viewpoints, a lot more fun.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then our other big project that we do is the research project. That started as an effective communicator research project for all of the teams, going through each of the language arts teachers. So I co-teach with each one of them, and we have a different topic at 7th grade than 8th grade. Mm-hmm. The bigger one that we use with the Google Classroom would be the endangered species one, where we have a bunch of videos in there that I've put in that explains to the kids how to use Noodle Tools, which is something that we use for citing sources and for using note cards and doing an outline all through that particular product, and then they end up writing their research paper. So I've shared the Google Classroom with Sandra and with each of the other language arts teachers so that they can also, one of the things that they have in there is the research paper template. The kids pick up the template. If the teachers want to add anything in the classroom, they can also add things in the classroom, but they can receive things from students that way and put out information that way as well.
Awesome. So your instruction that you're delivering through the videos is about, you know, how to use the citation piece and, like, conducting the research piece of it?
Right, as well as what sources to use for, like, we suggest some of the sources that they should be using for their research, things that will hit on their topic so that they don't get frustrated. So we also talk about reliable sources, sources that aren't biased, and so we have some of those in there as well.
And that's a nice feature because I know looking back on when I was teaching and I would do research papers in 11th, 12th grade, and then the students were like, well, I forgot how to do this, and they could look back at a video possibly. So even if they, you know, that you they can't take you home with them. So if you were standing up in front of them teaching them about citation and note cards, if they went home to work on it, they can't say, oh, well, what did she say again? Well, she could actually just go back and look at the video. So that's a nice resource for that application.
This is more of a mini flipped classroom, I would say, application, where when we were doing the vocal viewpoint, the kids kept having the same exact questions. I don't remember how to access the database. I don't remember how to upload when I'm done. Is it MP3? Mm-hmm. Is it WAV? So when we went to the videos, we realized it freed up a lot of instructional time.
That's awesome.
So if they had a question, we'd say, okay, watch video 2. You should be all set, and then we can move on to the next student to give them one-on-one attention. The research paper is about 5 weeks longer than the vocal viewpoint. So while it took us a while to create that database of all the most frequently asked questions, once we did that, it saved us a lot of time because the students could just go in and each video is labeled courtesy of Mrs. Austin,
mm-hmm.
exactly the skill that you need to learn when you were watching that video, and then they can use those at home if they had to miss due to a lesson, if they had to miss due to an absence, and it really cut down the amount of time we were answering and explaining the same processes over and over again,
mm-hmm.
and gave the students a lot of autonomy to miss a lesson, but then know exactly what they needed to catch up with the rest of the day.
That's awesome. And how have the students responded to it?
They've responded really well for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the videos, I think, lend themselves a little bit more to an independent process where it gives them that leeway to
mm-hmm.
look for the actual point and click, here's what you need to do step by step. And some of the videos are more geared toward, here's a specific skill that we're going to build on for today.
Mm-hmm.
So they can use both of them simultaneously to not only grab the skill that they need, but then also the direct instruction they need to get to the area where they need to get.
Awesome.
Right. Right. It's kind of exciting when you're in class and you've either shown the video or you tell the kids to go to the video, and then you see them on their own, somebody pulling it up side by side, two windows open at once,
mm-hmm.
and they're listening to the instructions if they needed to listen to them a second time as
right.
they're going through and doing it. So then you're knowing they're getting it. They're
right.
going through that process.
Their own pace. And
yep.
And I've seen you in the library, you know, you've recorded a video and you're playing it up on the smart board, but then that frees you, it's kind of like you cloned yourself a little bit, that frees you up to walk
mm-hmm.
around the room and you're available for like individual support as the video is playing. So that's another neat strategy as well.
And this has been great also to pair with our special education teachers so that
mm-hmm.
they have access to the direct instruction. So if a student doesn't remember,
yeah.
they can pull that up and they can have that one-on-one individual video time
mm-hmm.
to break it down and go through the steps again and keep making sure that they are on track and they are working simultaneously with their special education teacher to create successful interactions with that media in their class and our class so
awesome.
That they create better, I think they were much better products at the end of the research paper once we started doing the videos.
Is there anything that you would like to say to anybody that's thinking about doing something like this? Maybe not flipping their classroom entirely, but posting instructional videos for their students? Any words of wisdom or anything that you maybe encountered that you would look out for? And if that's not the case, that's cool.
I went through the process of learning how to use Smart Recorder, which wasn't too hard. It was
mm-hmm.
pretty simple. But then I take those videos and I upload them into Google. I've saved them on my desktop. Then I upload them to Google and I get rid of them off the desktop. and that seems to work pretty well. But to be very organized in your Google Drive when you're doing that.
Yeah.
So, like, since I have the classroom for the 8th grade project, I have a classroom for the 7th grade project, I have a classroom for the Vocal Viewpoint, I share a classroom with the FCS teacher, I made
mm-hmm.
one for Mr. Donnelly for the News Bank database. So just being very organized with your folders before you start attaching the videos into your classroom.
All right, any other things that you would want to mention?
Well, just that it's labor intensive up front, but
yeah.
now that we have all these videos, it's been so wonderful to just hit the research paper running. We know everything is in there.
Yeah.
Everything is all set and organized and categorized, and we'll be able to use it for years to come.
That's awesome.
Oh, maybe one other thing.
Yeah.
Like when we did the classrooms here with the English teachers, I put them in as assignments.
Right.
Okay, into Google Classroom for Mrs. Wadomsky for FCS. Instead, she wanted everything into a PDF document. So I've got all the links to the videos into a Word document that I made into a PDF and then
nice.
Put up there because they're watching one video after the next.
Okay.
Whereas with the English classes, we seem to do one skill a day.
Okay.
So it depends how you want to break it down,
right.
I think. So you could do it either way.
So you could just put the links in a document so that your classroom isn't, you know, cluttered,
right.
essentially.
Right, so you don't have, you know,
right. so you don't have
a big running list.
Yeah.
You could have it all in one document.
But if you want to release the videos in a scheduled manner, you could do it post by post by
yes.
post.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, we end with a techie teacher shout out. So do you have a teacher you want to shout out for a job well done?
let's see. I guess I will shout out to Dan Miller. I saw him using Google Expeditions, and he took his gym class to Mount Everest when
yeah.
they were studying snowshoeing.
Yeah. That was a really cool experience.
I am going to shout out Mike Dunn. I have not seen students as excited to go to math as they have when he's been using Kahoot, and I think that's been a really great review tool for them.
Yeah.
They've enjoyed.
That's awesome. I was definitely one of those math students, so I can relate. And I can relate to Kahoot as well as a teacher. Kahoot was the one thing when I was teaching that my students never got tired of. They would ask every single day if we were going to do it. And I'm like, you guys still like this after all this time? So that's a really great resource. Maybe I'll reach out to him and have him on the podcast talk about Kahoot. So I'll blame you for that. Well, thank you very much for doing this, and thank you for listening.
Sure.